So as I've been saying for almost about a year now, we are on a theme right now for the Tuesday evenings that's called the Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path is the path that leads to freedom eventually, and away from suffering. And when we're on this path, bit by bit, we gain more and more freedom and more happiness and ease in our lives. And we're moving away more and more from suffering and unsatisfactoriness. And so this path consists of 8 steps. And we are pretty far on the path right now with our talks and everything. And so we've covered the first 2 path factors, which are the wisdom category, wise view and wise intention. We've covered the middle 3 factors, which has to do with ethics and virtue, wise action, wise speech, and wise livelihood, or rather wise speech, action, livelihood. And then the last 3 steps are wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. And we're at wise mindfulness now. And so a while ago, I gave an overview of wise mindfulness, kind of covering everything, like a summary. And last week, I talked about wise mindfulness. The first foundation is the body. And so there are 4 foundations, or 4 establishments of mindfulness that are part of wise mindfulness. The first one is the body. The second one is feeling tone. Third one is mind states. And the fourth one is mind objects or principles. And so I won't go into the other ones. I'll focus on feeling tone today. And so the Pali word for feeling tone is vedana. And it's often also translated just as feeling, but that kind of confuses people a little bit sometimes, because it's not about our normal feelings like anger or joy or sadness or that kind of thing. It's has really to do with this immediate response of the mind to each experience, basically. So every experience we have throughout our lives comes with this feeling tone, as I like to translate it, and a lot of teachers like to translate it to not confuse people. And so every moment of contact, as it's called, comes with a feeling tone. And so let's say you're now looking at the Buddha here behind me, and you're seeing the Buddha. That's a moment of contact. And so now you can notice this seeing of the Buddha. Is that pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Or is it neutral? And then you might notice, oh, it's actually really pleasant to see the Buddha. Or maybe you notice it's not pleasant. And so it might be different for different people. And so this feeling tone is really about this first moment of the mind responding with pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And this is a very automatic process, so we can't help it. It's just going to happen. No matter how much we're going to meditate, we're not going to ever get rid of this feeling tone thing. It's just going to happen with every moment of contact. And so every time you are mindful of something, you it is a moment of contact. Every moment you're not mindful, there are countless moments of contact happening, and each moment of contact comes with vedana, with feeling tone. So the Buddha in the sutta that is about wise or right mindfulness says, and here it's translated as feeling. And how does one abide contemplating feelings as feelings? When feeling a pleasant feeling, one understands I feel a pleasant feeling. When feeling a painful feeling, one understands, I feel a painful feeling. When feeling a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, one understands, I feel a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. And so, this is very straightforward, this piece in the sutta. Like, just notice, like, be aware, or understand, oh, this is pleasant, this is unpleasant, this is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And so this is actually very subtle and hard to notice, this pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Because the thing is that our minds often immediately go from pleasant to craving and wanting, and from unpleasant to aversion, not wanting, pushing away, and from neutral to indifference or spacing out or confusion. And so those are basically the three roots, the three unwholesome roots, the three defilements, also called, or in Pali, the three kilesa. So those are craving, aversion, and delusion are the three defilements, the three unwholesome roots that cause all the other unwholesome states of mind and heart to arise. So anytime we're feeling any, in the camp of craving, any attachment, any wanting, any pulling towards, that's that root defilement of craving. Every time there is some type of aversion, frustration, anger, not wanting, pushing away, sadness, fear, anxiety, is all part of this root defilement of aversion. And then the root defilement of delusion includes the spacing out, the not knowing, the unclearness of mind. And so often we overlook this moment, that automatic process of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and we are right away into one of those root defilements and one of the various forms that those can take. And so the interesting thing is, though, that the Buddha put Vedana, this feeling tone, as one of those four foundations of mindfulness. And it's quite interesting because it's so subtle. Why does he even mention it? Why aren't we, paying attention to something else? Why is not something else? Like, there could be anything in there, and he chose Vedana to be one of those four foundations to be mindful of. And the thing is, I think that what is so helpful about feeling tone is that it is the moment, the feeling tone itself is not karmically loaded, so there's no karmic load to it. So it's the feeling tone itself doesn't cause us any suffering, it doesn't cause us any goodness either, it's just kind of neutral in itself if that happens. But as soon as it moves into craving, aversion, or delusion, karma comes in. So if aversion is there, or if there's this craving happening, then unwholesomeness is arising in the heart mind. And we are all going to have that. That's just going to happen. And so don't worry about that. If you're feeling craving, aversion, or delusion, it's really just part of our humanness, as long as we're not fully awakened. And so the point is not to get rid of the defilements so much. It's more about learning to work with them so that they can move through us instead of getting stuck, like what we talked about earlier, that they can get stuck when there's all these layers happening. So the power of this noticing Vedana and this teaching on Vedana is that there is this moment that things are just pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, and it's not karmically loaded, and then it moves into karmically loaded when it moves into craving and aversion. So if we can be aware of the feeling tone before it moves into craving, aversion, delusion, we're actually doing ourselves a huge favor because we're not getting caught up into defilements, so to speak. And so I always find it helpful, because it's so subtle, because we miss it so easily, I find it helpful to work our way back. So once we find ourselves in craving, for example, I'm starting to feel a little hungry, and I I crave for something tasty, and so I'm noticing myself opening the fridge and looking inside the fridge for something tasty. So craving has arisen. I don't want just anything, I want something tasty. So, you know, there's craving happening, and then I can then notice like, there was this feeling of hunger, and then a thought of, let me eat something tasty, and that was pleasant. And now there's craving for something pleasant, for something tasty. And so I can work my way back, there was some pleasantness happening with this thought around having something tasty. Or when I sit in meditation and there's this pain in my knee, all of a sudden I feel this aversion, like, oh, this is so annoying, and now I can't sit for half an hour like this, and how long is the meditation gonna last? And then, oh wait, unpleasant. Unpleasantness is there. And so we can use it very practically, like noticing, kind of, you know, even if it's a little bit after the fact, like, oh wait, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And neutral's even the hardest one out of the three. And sometimes even when we are all worked up about something, or we get angry, it can even be really like helpful and really help give us space if we notice the unpleasantness of it. Like, we're in traffic and someone cuts us off, and we're like angry, and then, oh wait, this is really unpleasant. That kind of gives a little bit of space, a little bit of air, when we just notice the unpleasantness. And like I said, every moment of our lives, every moment of contact comes with pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So also those moments that the aversion or the frustration arises, that moment also comes with pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So we can always pick it up there. Like, oh, this frustration is unpleasant, or this craving is pleasant, or yeah, whatever it is that we're noticing. So neutral feeling tone can be a bit harder even to detect. And perhaps we can try right now to discover a neutral feeling tone. Like, notice the small toe of your right foot. Did you notice it before I said it? Probably not. It was pretty neutral, probably. And perhaps now, even that you tune into it, it's still neutral, because it might not, you know, unless you have some pain there or something, then it might be unpleasant. So that's what a neutral feeling tone is like. It's very like innocuous, is that the right word? It's you hardly notice it, right? It's so like there, like neutral, that it's just, you know, hard to notice. And sometimes when there's a lot of neutralness happening, we might get this experience of spacing out, and it can turn in even into like boredom, because not that much is happening. And so that's something to watch out for, like, oh, maybe there's just a lot of neutralness happening and not as much excitement. Of craving and aversion are much more exciting. So, and then we can tune into like, oh, wait, this feels pretty neutral, you know, just noticing that. And so that's kind of the basic teaching on Vedana, these three feeling tones and how they lead to craving, aversion, and delusion. And I also want to touch into a little bit of a deeper layer that the Buddha talks about in that same sutta. He talks about worldly and unworldly Vedana. And so the worldly Vedana is Vedana that comes from the six sense doors. And so the five physical senses, and the sixth sense door being the mind. And worldly Vedana basically is Vedana that that leads to dukkha, that leads to unsatisfactoriness or suffering. And so most of our Vedana is based in our body and mind. And the Buddha says all of our conditioned experience is unsatisfactory. And so that's what it's pointing to, the unsatisfactoriness of our existence. And of course, we also experience pleasantness. Like, that's a pleasant feeling. Tone is also in there. But it's not liberating. And so unworldly Vedana is Vedana that comes from wholesomeness. So wholesome meditative states, for example, when there is when there's some calmness in the meditation or peace, or when we feel joy or tranquility, then that's wholesome Vedana. Vedana that comes from renunciation, from letting go, can be wholesome. The pleasantness of, for example, an intention for awakening, the pleasantness of the intention to meditate, those can all be wholesome Vedanas. And so you think maybe what kind of unpleasant feeling tone could be wholesome. But perhaps when you're transgressing like the precepts, the ethical conduct that is part of being a Buddhist practitioner, when you speak harshly to your child, you might feel remorse. And so it might feel very unpleasant to feel that remorse, but it's wholesome because it helps us to see that we don't want to do that again. We don't want to speak so harshly again. And so that's the function of the remorse. And in that sense, the remorse is in that moment wholesome. And that the Buddha does well, does say that that we need to linger with that. Like, once we've seen it, you know, we've learned our lesson, and it's okay to let go of the remorse. In the West, we often hang on to our remorse quite a bit too much. So that's not what the Buddha wants us to do. So any of those, if we break any of those precepts, we may feel remorse or shame. Like, there's actually in the suttas, there's wholesome remorse and wholesome shame. So we can tune into that, and then once we learned our lesson, let go of that. And perhaps also, for example, I think that might even be in the suttas that there's this unpleasant feeling tone that can come from like overeating, and then our craving for food has led to this feeling tone of unpleasantness from food. That's an unworldly unpleasant feeling tone. And so the thing is, though, the Buddha did not say in the sutta, so there's wholesome and unwholesome feeling tones. He said worldly and unworldly. And I think I got this from Bhikkhu Anallio, he's a scholar and a monk, that Vedana is not based in intention. And so for something to be wholesome or unwholesome, there needs to be a wholesome or unwholesome intention. And Vedana is an automatic process. We don't intend to have Vedana. So Vedana itself is not wholesome or unwholesome. It's worldly or unworldly. And that which surrounds the Vedana can be wholesome or unwholesome, of course. Like, if it moves into craving or if it moves into aversion, it can be unwholesome. If the pleasant Vedana moves into calmness, a calm meditative state, peacefulness, or in this unwholesome, or this not unwholesome, in this unpleasant, like remorse that is wholesome, it can move into wholesomeness or unwholesomeness in that sense. But the feeling tone itself is not. And so we have this practice of just noticing pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and then, if we want to go a little deeper, we can notice the worldly, unworldly distinction as well in our practice. And if it feels a little confusing or you're not sure, you can let go of that layer too. And so perhaps also interesting to know is that this Vedana, this feeling tone, is conditioned. And so our previous conditioning determines whether we experience something as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so, like I said with that example of seeing the Buddha, some people might find it a pleasant sight, some people might find it unpleasant, for others it's neutral. And so it's not in the object, the pleasantness, their unpleasantness or neutralness. It's in our own conditioning, and our own conditioning can change over time. Like as a child, I was playing with all these toys that I'm not interested in at all anymore, right? I found it very pleasant, but now it's like neutral or maybe even unpleasant. If someone makes me play with them right now. So, you know, it changes. And even in a shorter time frame, like if you're eating a chocolate cake, like maybe the first piece is really pleasant, but what if someone makes you eat four pieces? It might not be so pleasant anymore, right? So it's not in the chocolate cake, it's in our own conditioning. And so this feeling tone thing is a really rich practice, I think. Simply this recognition when something, you know, is up for us, it can be give such a breathing room. If something really unpleasant is present, like, oh, it's so unpleasant, and just notice how there's maybe a little bit of a gap when you do that. Or when you want to work with your craving for food or craving for, you know, Netflix or craving for whatever it is, like noticing, oh, wait, this pleasantness of this craving really makes me want to go there. Like, and then noticing the pleasantness of it can help us to maybe stop ourselves in our tracks a little bit. So Vena is such an important aspect of our lives, and that's why it's in this list of the four foundations. And this monk and scholar, Jnanaponika Thera, he points out, and I want to end with this quote: whether people are fully aware of it or not, their lives are chiefly spent in an unceasing endeavor to increase their pleasant feelings and to avoid unpleasant feelings. All human ambitions and strivings serve that purpose. All that is wanted is to have more and more of pleasant feelings because they bring with them emotional satisfaction. And so this is kind of a warning for us. Like, don't strive for all the pleasantness, but just notice that there is this striving.